I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My dad, so this is quite weird because obviously now you've said he wasn't there, but he described watching me being born as like watching his favourite pub burn down.
No.
That's what he said.
Oh, he's just me. He wasn't like that at the time.
Such a bastard.
Hello everybody and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week I am joined by none other than my mother, Carol Patterson.
Hello.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So obviously everyone can't see, but this isn't the first time I've had my mum on the podcast. She did come and agree to be like a little cameo guest once before, but actually we've been trying to get her on for a while now, but due to technical difficulties,
Carol's technical difficulties,
we had to make sure we were together for this to work.
Yes, I'm technically challenged.
No, it is a difficult setup on your own, but no, we are together this week. We're in the Lake District for Erkan's birthday. So yeah, so I have to deal with all that said. So you can just focus on being the wonderful Miss Congeniality guest that you are.
Oh, that's lovely. You're bigging us up here, mate.
I do. I tend to butt on your guests. So
I think it's like being a mother, sure.
No, you've got all the secrets. I've got to put on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch what you say,
but without further ado, let's get into it. So, right, I'm going to ask you some questions about you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions about me. And then people can just get a nice feel of you.
I'm really... Well, that sounds a bit rude. Get a bit of a feel of you over the podcast. I don't know about that.
Just your vibe.
Yeah, but it'll be strange for me because usually if I get interviewed at all, it's people asking me about you. People don't usually ask about me.
Well, that's a bit crap, isn't it?
Are you Vicky Patterson? No, actually I'm Carol. She's my daughter.
She goes so mental whenever I just said to people, I go, this is me mum. She's like, actually I'm Carol.
I do have a name.
You've just been mum to me for 32 years.
But I was Carol before I was Vicky Patterson's mum, believe it or not.
Exactly. And that's what I want this podcast to do.
Yeah.
Give you your own identity so everyone can see. That actually is so much more than just playing Vicky Patterson's mum.
I don't object to being Vicky Patterson's mum.
What's a really good thing?
I'm really proud and I love it. But I just like people to think that I am a person too.
Sometimes she just wants people to ask how she is. Yeah. Ask how Carol is, guys.
Yeah, I've seen your Vicky doing this. Is Vicky doing that?
What about what Carol's doing?
It's all about Vicky. No, it's lovely. I'm dead proud. So yeah, not bothered at
all,
really.
I actually am really proud of you.
Oh, no.
No, I am. And I feel very, I always say this, like, I would say I feel very lucky to have you as my mum. Oh. But, like, I don't think people know enough about you and enough of why I'm so proud. So this is your moment in the spotlight, Carol.
No pressure, then, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you should be nervous. I get a lot of listeners, you know.
Woo! How many? I don't know.
Oh, honestly, I don't know. So I think we're sort of approaching about a mil.
Wow!
I know!
Oh God, I shouldn't have asked that, should I? I thought it was like a few people in that space.
God damn it, man! I'm a famous podcaster!
I listen to it every week, like, I love it.
Did you just think it was
I
you?
It was just me and a few of your fans, like.
No, it's doing really well.
Right, good, I'm pleased. I am really pleased.
Right, well, after that monumental knock to my ego, let's bloody start.
That's what travel. It was after our VFO, isn't it? Just to bring you back down there.
She keeps me so humble. But then I think I wouldn't have it any other way. I've been in the industry, what, like 10 years or something now? And I've grown up with a lot of people. And I've watched people go from being friends and people who I like have so much in common with and absolutely love and feel like there's a great affinity to actually now, 10 years later, having nothing in common with them anymore because they've changed. Right. They've allowed this industry to affect them in ways that, like, I never wanted to affect me.
Okay. But they forgot themselves, like, forgot where they come from.
A little bit, just full of themselves right. and not grateful and, I don't know, like, just not as appreciative as I would have thought they would have been for all the amazing things that are coming their way.
Because they're just people at the end of the day doing a different job to everybody else.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Everybody's making a living the best they can, and they're just making sometimes a better living than other people, but they're still working.
Well, that's it. And the weirdest thing is, as well, if nobody, like you say, listened to me podcast, or nobody watched me TV shows, or nobody bought the things I promoted, then I wouldn't have a career.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, in essence, we should be so much more grateful. But no, there is some people who have lost their way slightly.
Right.
And I always say, I'm so pleased you've kept me humble and grounded and helped us keep my feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, that's nice. I'm glad I've served some purpose in your life.
Oh, well, obviously you birthed us as well. That was great.
Yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm really appreciative for that one as well.
That was so many years ago, I've forgotten about it.
Mum, we're doing this again. We're talking about me and we're meant to be talking about you.
Okay, sorry.
Enough. Enough Vicky Patterson chat. It's Carol Patterson time. Right, first question. Obviously, Anna.
Oh, you're going to question us. I thought we're just chatting.
No, well, we'll have a mixture, so it feels super organic at times, and then other times I'll hit you with a hard-hitting question. Like Piers Morgan, life stories.
Oh, hey, I was interviewed by Piers Morgan once.
Were you?
I know, can you believe it? Carol Patterson didn't be able to... Guess why, though?
Because of it.
Me daughter was in the jungle. I was live on GMTV. I was in Australia in the Versace, I would have you know.
Oh.
And I had my hair done and my makeup done and everything.
So fancy.
And honestly, he was absolutely lovely. He was a little pussycat.
I love Piers Morgan as well.
Yeah.
This must be where I get it from.
Mm-hmm.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
There you go.
Look at you. And now I feel nervous. Shit. I'm nowhere near as professional as Piers. Okay. Let's do this. Why did you tell us that? Now I am so nervous. No. So where did you grow up? Obviously I know this, but like everyone listening won't. And what was your childhood like?
Right. So I was born in a place called Wall's End,
yep.
as you know.
Yep.
At the end of Hadrian's Wall. I was actually born in the house. People were born in the house in them days. So I was born in the house. In this house. That was actually the end of the wall. It's called Segedunum now.
Yeah.
It's the fort and, you
They've
know, it's
made
a
it in
historical,
track, yeah,
yeah,
it?
Where I was born. Not really because I was born.
Birthplace of Vicky Patterson's mum.
That's right. I was born in the house in Wall's End.
Uh-huh.
My mum had me in the house because I had an older sister,
uh-huh.
Linda, and she was 3 years older and she didn't want to leave her.
Oh, my grandma, such a ledge.
I know.
So was my auntie Linda born in a hospital?
Yes.
Right.
If our firstborn was usually in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But in them days, you were in hospital for 10 days after you had your baby. Like bedridden, they thought it was like an illness. And yeah, you couldn't have visitors very much. I think your granddad was allowed in for like half an hour a night.
And they would have hated being
apart. Yeah. Absolutely hated it. So she swore that if she had another baby, she would have it in the house. So I was born in the house. There you go.
Oh.
So your granddad seen us more or less straight away, which wasn't done in them days.
Right.
You know, the men weren't at the birth wall.
So wasn't your granddad then?
No.
No.
Well, he was in the house,
uh-huh.
but he wasn't actually at the birth. They weren't allowed in them days. It wasn't men's thing.
Honestly?
Oh, no. The men used to go down the pub, man, usually, but your granddad wasn't a drinker, as
nah.
you know. So he was actually in the house. So they thought it was absolutely amazing that your granddad seen us when I was like 15 minutes old.
Oh.
Because in them days, it was like the next day or whenever visiting was, 7:30 the next night.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think I would hate that. Like, if I ever have a baby, I want her kind of there in the room holding my hand.
Well, that's what happens now. I mean, when it was Laura, maybe,
uh-huh.
there was Laura in there, the midwife, there was Danny, there was me. I thought, oh, God, I just ask people in off the street. But, you know, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go in because I said, no, it's a time for just you and your husband. Yeah. You just have to bond and with the baby and all that. And she was like, no, Mum, I want you in there. And I was like, oh, I don't think I want to watch. Because when you do it yourself, you don't see down that
you
end.
You don't go to business ends.
But she had us in, and honestly, she always says, you said you weren't going to watch, and yet when the midwife said she's coming, you're like, you both of you were staring.
Staring at Laura's funny.
No way. Honestly, you just forget what it is. Honestly, Vicky, I didn't think I would like it either. But you just forget that you just the miracle of this baby coming out. It was one of the nicest things I've ever seen. Maybe being born, honestly, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there.
Oh,
but it was
God. Lovely. I don't know about that. Like, my dad, so this is quite weird because obviously now you've said he wasn't there, but he described watching me being born as like watching his favourite pub burn down.
No.
That's what he said.
Oh, he's just me. He wasn't like that at the time.
Such a bastard.
Yeah, he was so involved.
Was he?
Yeah,
oh,
he was lovely. But he wasn't much use, like, but he was lovely. I always remember him saying, you know, when you're in labour and it's getting near to the end, and
well, no, are, I don't
no,
know.
No, you don't, but you're in quite a bit of pain. I don't like to build it up, but you have a little bit of pain there. And I was grabbing his hand, he was like, you're hurting me hand. Excuse me? I've been in labour for like 2 days and I'm hurting your hand.
I am trying to squeeze something the size of a watermelon out something the size of a peanut. If your hand hurts, fucking take it.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't getting that late. But no, he was great. He was. Yeah, he was useful at the time. Had been useful before, obviously. Yes, you were asking about my childhood.
No, sorry. But what I will just say is I understand totally why women want women in there with them. In a labour situation, like, I know loads of my mates have had babies and they've got either their mums or they've got their sisters or they've got their best friends who've had a baby before. And I understand, like, you want to share this moment with your husband. It's you and him bringing life into the world, you and your partner. But, like, I just think they'll be absolutely... I'm not even being sly. I think they'll be fucking useless in that situation. There's exceptions, of course, don't get us wrong. But no, I think...
Well, Danny was great. You know how lovely he is with Laura.
This is my sister's husband.
He hates seeing her in pain.
Oh, bless
him. He struggled when she was really in pain. He couldn't, like, comfort her that much because he was wanted to punch somebody or sort it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wanted to take the pain away. Yeah, he couldn't. So he went out for lots of tab breaks. So...
She's going to kill me if you ever listen to this.
He does listen as well.
Danny, we're sorry.
Danny, you are truly amazing.
Danny, you're a legend among men.
No, he was great. But yeah, he had to go out for a tab break, so I had to take one more in pain with Laura. So, yeah.
I can't believe we've just picked Danny up that much. We haven't mentioned Laura. Laura,
yeah, she
was
great. She had a part to play.
Yeah, she was creating life. My niece, my mum's grandchild, is lovely.
Actually, the midwife couldn't believe it because she had a great playlist. And we were singing all the way through. Honestly, right until the baby was born, we were all singing. In fact, Laura was saying, Mam, will you shut up? Because I was singing too loud at times.
Do you know what? I think we're on this now, but it would be crazy for us to waste this moment. Do you want this bubble?
Yes, please.
Tell what, obviously you've got two kids, you've got me and you've got Laura.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your labours like?
Actually, because it's so long ago now, you forget. I always say I hated being pregnant because I didn't feel in control of my body at all. Things were happening and I wasn't, you know, I had no control over whatsoever. Uh-huh. I was growing this life and I could feel it inside of us. And you know how some people say, it's magical, it's wonderful. I just felt horrid.
Oh,
I felt fat, bloated and like having an alien inside of us. I didn't enjoy any of it.
Just super uncomfortable.
I didn't enjoy it at all. And the labours were just something you had to get through.
And
to be honest, my pregnancies weren't bad.
No.
I felt sickly for the first 3 months, but I was never sick. I was fine. And then I was great. And as I say, just feeling fat and bloated and horrid. Until the last month. And then I was a bit, you know, couldn't get comfortable. Mm-hmm. Just all the usual. But I was never poorly. And the labours weren't bad, they were just long. I wasn't, they don't call it in labour now, when I found out about Laura, it's not until you had dilated however many centimetres, but I was actually in hospital, they wouldn't let us go out because I had started dilating. With you, I know it's horrible sometimes.
I'm so pleased you didn't have me breakfast before.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I went in on the Sunday afternoon, and I didn't have it until the Monday morning. And it was a long time. It seemed like a long time at the time. And with Laura, I went in on the Saturday tea time, and she wasn't born until Monday morning. So she was never going to come out. I was 2 weeks late. I was on right on the day with you. Weeks late with Laura. The Saturday start is off. They'd done everything in their possibilities to and she was never going to come out.
Can I just say
that? She was overcooked.
Yeah, that completely reflects our personalities as adults as well. Like, I'm really independent. Like, don't get us wrong. Yeah. I love you. I love me family. I love when I spend time with you. But I stand on my own 2 feet. I've moved away. I was away for uni. I've travelled. Like, I love me independence. Yeah. I love to be my own person. Laura is a wonderful girl. She'd still be living inside you if she could be.
Yeah, that's very true. I think 2 weeks I got off very lightly, didn't I? Extra 2 weeks.
She's such a mummy's girl.
She is. She's lovely.
But you love it. Like,
I do. And yes, are both completely different. Yeah. But I love yous both the same in
different ways.
The same amounts in different ways.
It would be weird. And it wouldn't be good if we were both together. Imagine if we were both like super independent.
Yeah. Oh, I'd hate that. Yeah. I would hate that.
And if we're both similarly like hanging around your neck, you'd hear that now?
Yeah. No, it's lovely. It's lovely to have a mix. Once you have that baby in your arms, you forget all about the labour. I've always said that.
I just don't. Right, everybody says this. Mothers always say this. And I think, liar.
Honestly, it's horrendous. I wouldn't tell anybody that's about to have a baby that it's horrendous. Because I just say, it's just something you've got to get through. Because it is. It's got to come out, and it's going to come out somehow. But no matter how hard it is, and watching Laura go through it was hard.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, I got through it twice. Yeah. So people get through it. Do you know what I mean? And you've just got to think, why are you doing it? And God, it's so worth it, because once you see and feel that baby, there is nothing else like it in the world.
You just can't compare the love you feel for it to anything else.
And you know, the love that I felt for both of yous, and I've heard people say, will you be able to love a second child as much? I've never, ever had that thought. Mm. I just thought, I love my baby, but I love whatever babies I have. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I still stick to that. I always wanted three, and I'm sure I would have loved the third one as well. I just never got around to doing it. I'd had enough after two. Really. It wasn't the happening. It wasn't looking after them.
We weren't easy children.
Oh, you were gorgeous children. I do think you love it. But the love for your granddaughter as well. People told us this, and I didn't imagine it to be a bit like this. And it's as nice as your own children, if not nicer, because everybody says you haven't got the responsibility, and that's very true. You haven't. You've got no responsibility at all. So you wade in and go, I can take this baby off you. You can have a rest. I'll take her and keep her for a day. And just play with her and do lovely things, because I've got nothing else to do. Whereas when you're a mum, you've got the washing to do. You've got, you know, the shopping to do, the house to do.
Yeah.
You've got everything else to do. Whereas when you're a grandma, you can say, I'm not doing my house today. I'm just having a baby.
You just,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, so someone said this, I read this somewhere once, and I never, understood the gravity of it until you're talking now, and it was like, if you don't raise your kids right, you'll end up raising your grandkids. And like, I look at the way you've brought me and Laura up, and like, obviously I'm not a mother, but Laura is now, and she's a great mum.
Oh, fabulous.
She's a brilliant
mum. She's tucked to it marvellously.
And like, I look at what you're able to do with Maeve, and it's, you're able to spoil her, to take her for the days you do want, you're able to help out when you can. You're not bringing her up by any means. You're being a grandma and you're being a brilliant one, but that's because you brought Laura up right as well. And I didn't understand that sentence until I seen the dynamic that you've got now. And I think it is a very poignant turn of phrase.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? I brought you up right? Yes. Did I do something right?
Are you mad? I think you're a great man.
Good.
I really worry when you talk like this that I'm fundamentally missing something that most women have.
What? In terms of having a baby?
Yeah.
Why are you missing it? You've got plenty of time. Or do you think you don't want any children? Or do you, I know you've talked about it and thought about it a lot, but you still have, I don't know if you've come to any decisions or not?
No, like, so some days, well, I think I'm, for starters, I think I'm really fickle, which is difficult. Mm-hmm.
Especially. What, you wanted a baby then? It's like, nah, I couldn't stand having a baby.
It's kind of one of the only circumstances where you really can't be
fickle. No.
You've got to commit either way. And it's like,
it is a big commitment. And that's what I've always said to both of you. You know, I don't think you should rush into having a baby just because it's like the next thing on the path. You know, it's not like...
It's the next thing you're meant to check
it
off.
Don't tick off boxes. This is not a ticking off box situation. This is something that I think you should do. And I'm very old-fashioned, so forgive me in this. And I know this isn't the way that everybody goes now, but I always thought that you have a baby because you and your partner love each other.
Yeah.
You love each other to bits and you just want to have something special between you. Mm-hmm. And that's why me and your dad, we didn't just say, oh, we want kids. I think we'd always thought we did. Uh-huh. I don't think we ever had a discussion, but we just always loved kids. And it was the life, you know, you just had life together. But we waited for years.
Yeah.
I mean, we were together. God, I don't like to say how many years we were together before I had you. About 15 years or something.
No, my mum didn't have me when she was like 60 or anything. She met me dad when she was 11.
I was quite young.
That's why that maths works.
Yeah, I sounded a bit wrong. But no, I mean, we had we're life together, we'd had a great life, we'd done all the things, we'd got drunk together, we'd gone out clubbing together, we loved our holidays, we got married, we had our house, we had a few houses before we actually settled down, and we were at a stage
all right,
where...
Billy Big Dick.
Well,
I was a property developer.
No, we started off in like a flat, a pair of flats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, had like you did it then. You didn't buy a flat; you bought a pair of flats, so you had a tenant downstairs.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah, it was quite
bizarre. So you were a landlord?
I was a landlord. I had Mary and Tommy living downstairs. They were great.
Oh,
they were in their 80s. And I used to go down and see my brother and sister. And I used to go down and see Mary.
It's an odd one.
And I could, bless them, they were lovely. And I could hear your dad, we were upstairs, and I could hear him running up the stairs. And then he used to do his exercises when he came in from work, and I could hear him banging up and down. The weights were going up and down on the floor. And you could just hear bang, 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 bang.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you know, the parties we were having must have been terrible. And she used to sit and say, I love hearing you upstairs. I love hearing you going around knowing that you're having a good time up there. And I thought, how nice is that?
Old people are the best, aren't they?
She was
Mary sounds
Mary.
Like a grandma.
Love Mary. But yeah, I had a pair of flats and then you move on and whatever. But no, so I felt as though we had my life mapped out.
Yeah.
We never mapped anything out. It was just organic.
Yeah.
And we just went along and did the things that we wanted to do. And when we felt as though the time was right, we'd done the next stage and the next stage. So yeah, we were ready to have kids by the time we were 30.
Yeah.
And that was it. And you came along. Bless you. And you are beautiful. And so then when it came to having you, it was having the family, we weren't like, oh God, this family stopped me from going out, or we can't do this, because we didn't want to.
And you've done
we felt as though we'd done that, and we were at the stage where we wanted to just be with our family and we wanted to just take you out with her. Yeah. So very rarely did you go to babysitter. You did. You used to go to your grandma, your auntie Viv, who loved you as well. Yeah. And that was great. But the majority of the time you were with us, like holidays, we would never dream of saying, oh, I'm going on a lad's holiday, a girl's holiday, or your dad on a lad's holiday. We'd just done everything together. We're like a little family from the start. And that's how it worked for us.
Yeah.
And that's, so all I'm saying is, I don't think you should rush into having kids until your situation's right. Because I think you've got to be in a strong relationship because it's not easy.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not easy at all. It's hard having kids.
No, I know. I get that. I get that.
Beautiful and worthwhile
at
the right time for you. But these people that have them on their own, I think, God, I take my hands off to them because it must be hard.
Yeah.
It must be really hard.
The thing that I find crazy is when you see a couple struggling or you know that probably isn't having the easiest time at the moment, and they're like, I know what will fix this, a baby.
No.
And like, not even having had any experience bringing up babies, I just look at it and go, that's
recipe for disaster. That's in a year's time bit. They'll be split up.
That's hard.
And that poor bin is going to be passed from one to another, which I know happens, and you know, people make the most of it, but is that ideal? Not in my eyes.
Yeah, okay.
I think, you know, I love to see children coming into the world in a stable relationship where the two parents, whatever sex they are, two parents that really want them, really love them.
That's the best way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just, well, kids should just be surrounded by love, whatever shape or form it comes.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the way I was brought up.
Yeah,
grandma and granddad loved kids, loved us with a passion. And, you know, our lives, mine and our Linda's when we were little, it was all about family.
Yeah.
The joke is... I think the last time you were up in the northeast, I took Erkan round.
Yes, you did. You
where
did.
We were brought up, Northumberland Street.
We gave Erkan a little tour.
I did. And it was like, this was my house. This is where I lived with my mum and dad until I was 16. until we moved away from the rest of the family. But there was, in the street, there was my Auntie Sarah, there was Auntie Jean, there was my grandma and grand. I lived at 64. And do you know, everybody in the street you knew, and you were just surrounded by. Auntie Sarah used to make the best little toffee cakes.
Ooh.
Toffee cakes and cinder toffee.
Oh.
You used to always go to Auntie Sarah's for cinder toffee.
What's she called? Auntie Say?
Auntie Say.
Yes!
Go to Auntie Say's house.
Now I want toffee.
Oh, it was the best. No, it was really the best. But yeah, I was brought up with loving family and just all, surrounded by... you know, all ages, because there was, they used to have the granny and granddad living in the front room, man. I was brought up in my house, my grandma and granddad used to have their mum and dad living in the back room, and it was just family time. We had nowt. We used to sit and make paper sticks on a night time by the fire and cut up old newspaper for toilet roll for the outside toilet.
Oh.
Now I'm showing my age.
What a life, Carol.
We loved it. We used to have little concerts. Do you not remember when you were little? We used to have concerts. Well, that came from your grandma and granddad's house.
I think
my grandma and granddad.
Obviously, I've got great memories of growing up and lovely memories of my grandma and granddad. I was lucky enough to have them in my life for ages, and my granddad still is. But honestly, all my memories are that, like, they just loved the bones of us so much, and they loved being parents, and they loved being grandparents, and they loved each other. Like, I've had great role models in my life in terms of how to bring children up, in terms of how to be like a patriarch or matriarch of a family, just in terms of like how to raise kids. Like, I'm really, really lucky.
And that came from my grandparents.
Yeah,
they were absolutely the most beautiful, loving people.
Oh,
it was my mum's mum and dad, Grandma Mary and Granddad Norman.
Granddad Livingston.
Granddad Livingston. And what a lovely gentleman he was, gentle giant, but he was a lovely man and she was a lovely woman. Oh. And they were just a lovely couple. And out of that then came my lovely mum, and she met her lovely
granddad.
Yeah. It's funny though, but we all met, were partners, and I think it was that was more a timing thing when we were young.
Yeah.
Stayed with them forever and ever. That's how it worked.
God knows I did try, Carol. It wasn't for lack of trying. I was single at 30.
You know what it is? I just think times have changed.
Yeah, totally.
You know, people didn't travel then.
Yeah.
You went to school and you met your boyfriend, yeah. And then you became your fiancé, become your husband, yeah. And you didn't travel, you didn't go anywhere, so you didn't know anybody outside of Wallsend.
Of course.
You know, you didn't even meet anybody from Newcastle, which is 4 miles away. You had to go out with somebody from Wallsend.
Yeah.
And times have changed, so you've got so much more choice now. Mm. You know, the world's opened up. And that's great. And I think that, you know, it's got to be much better.
Yeah.
But there again, the simple life was really good. I cannot knock it. It worked for all of us. Really loving, genuine, nice people.
Oh, Mum.
I'm from the nicest stock ever. The nicest family.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Well, guys, that's the end of part one, and it's absolutely flown.
No, I can't believe that. How much do I talk?
Just tell us to show.
No, I think we both talk.
I think people can understand where I get it from. But will I be back in part two to talk more things? Health.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.